Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk.
All right. Well, here we are. Actually, I'm going to pray for us really quick.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go ahead and add the prayer in on this one as well.
Yeah, do it.
Lord, I just thank you for this day. I pray for over this conversation as we talk about what Jesus did going out to the crowds. And also welcome our guest, which I'll talk about in just a minute. Lord, just bless this day. Bless our conversation. I pray it is edifying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, today we are here with Ryan Deering, who is with FCA. And maybe we're going to get into his story in just a minute. We're excited to have him in because they are a great organization that works hard to help kids get into groups within their – actually, I'll let you end up. I can really explain what it is, but get into their schools and pray together and form groups and do sports together. So Ryan, can you just tell us a little bit about what FCA does and your role there?
Starting at the mission. To lead every coach and athlete to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I think it's a great mission. And looking at, I'll touch on this later, I'm assuming, with Unity as the conversation flows.
Yeah.
But I think it's almost missing the mark a little bit in because another part of the mission that we like to talk about is every means every. Mm-hmm. And the mission there is to lead every coach and athlete. That's not every.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when I look at the focus of FCA, it is everyone that we want to, that's the everybody that the FCA has a heart to go out
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I mentioned to you, Brandon, a couple weeks ago, everything that FCA can do, the church and FCA can't do the same things. That's why they're so important to be intertwined with each
exactly.
other.
We need it all.
Ways. Exactly. So the coach and the coach and the athlete is FCA's primary ministry focus. So it started out often where it was just in the high schools, middle schools, college huddles, where we'd have a couple student-led leaders that would run through devotionals, some FCA resources, have an advisor there at wherever it was. And now what I get to do is called FCA Sports, where we're much more on the field with the coaches, starting club teams. In the Valley here, we know we're up to, I believe, this year. We're still in the middle of a tryout season. I have a tryout tonight, and I had one last night. And I think we're at 21 teams now between baseball and softball. And then we also have wrestling clubs. We have archery clubs.
Yeah.
It's about discipling those coaches to disciple those kids, disciples making disciples, getting out onto the field with these athletes. And that's where that FCA Sports started a few years ago. I think this is his fourth year.
Yeah.
So it used to be mostly just the huddles, and now we're starting to get onto the field with the teams and clubs, and it's been a really cool experience in that way. I love seeing how FCA has been a part of that growth, and how I've been a part of it too. I've been volunteering and interning with FCA for 6 years now. Came on staff actually 2 years ago in 6 days on August 8th.
Nice.
Seven days. August 1st. Shout out.
Let's get those days right.
No. Happy birthday, Mom, by the way. Shout out. August 1st.
All right now.
All right. Happy birthday, Mom.
Sorry. Random.
Oh, I love it.
But it's the seeing the growth of FCA. Now FCA is continually trying to get better and better on the resources and how to provide the staff with the abilities and empowerment to go do God's work.
Yeah,
it's been really cool to be a part of.
Man, that's awesome.
I love that.
What drew you into the FCA? What kind of led you into that, or maybe just give a brief history of your story and then how you got into FCA because of it.
Well, God, I think we all say that.
yes.
We could all say that.
We need more details than that.
I know.
he's pretty broad. You know,
we got an hour to fill. It's like he's like, oh God, all right, we're done.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Kind of truth though. We could drop the mic right there.
Yep, that's it. See you next week, guys. I didn't dedicate my life to Christ until after I graduated high school, which was back in 2017. That summer, I'm not going to go into the full testimony part of it. It was, long story short, I messed up and the song Forgiven by Crowder resonated in my ears. Mm. And that was the moment that I knew that there's something greater than me going on here.
Yeah.
I started learning all about it, went to my junior college to play baseball in CBC and Tri-Cities. Had a great time there, but I was still figuring things out. I didn't know what was next. And I will never forget, I was working at a basketball game, working the desk, and one of my friends walked up to me and slapped an FCA Bible down on the table. I was like, that's what I need. I need a community. Mm. And the rest is history. I started an FCA huddle there. I ended up actually not wanting to play baseball after this, which is also just a total God thing.
Yeah.
Because you were pretty into it, right?
I was pretty into it.
Like, I want to do this.
I wanted, yeah. And I didn't want to play. And then next thing I know, I'm getting offered scholarships to places that I just didn't even think about. Mm-hmm. And one of those being NNU here in Nampa.
Okay, yeah.
And I actually initially turned down the offer, and then he increased it by 40%. And he had never seen me play baseball before.
Mm.
Just a total God thing looking back at it. And so I came here, and not to mention we had a great 3 years here. We ended up going to the World Series, and it was just super cool ways where I got to learn what it looked like to pursue my faith in sports.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's part of why I love what I get to do now is I have a lot of regrets about how I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked myself the question, why? I always just did it because I thought I had to. I never asked myself, why am I trying to glorify God? Why am I doing this in certain areas? Like, for example, I was a leadoff batter. Outside of the dugout, I would take a knee in front of everybody and pray. I'm like, okay, great. But why am I doing that out there for everybody to see instead of doing it in my personal relationship with God in the locker room? It's not bad to pray out in front of everybody, obviously.
Yeah.
But what was my heart posture behind that? And my heart posture behind that, I can tell you right now, was to not glorify God. To glorify, hey, guys, check this out. I'm a Christian.
Yeah, look how holy I am. Yeah. Is that kind of where you're going?
Exactly.
Oh, bummer.
So I could easily tell you that. So
I've been in those, too. We've all had those moments, I feel.
Exactly.
Like. Yeah.
And I have a lot of these regrets playing in the game of baseball and how I was able to glorify God. And so being able to do what I do now is really – it's been such a godsend to be able to pour into these kids to help them not make the same mistakes I did.
Yeah,
that's good.
But rewinding a little bit, how I officially got into it. So coming into NNU, they had an FCA presence here.
Yeah.
And so I became the president of that. And then once I graduated, I had a weird year with COVID. I ended up getting another year of eligibility and whatnot. But I actually ended up getting an offer to go to the tryout for the Boise Hawks here locally.
Oh, nice.
I got an offer to play – or not play well, I guess it is technically play in God's kingdom, to be a youth pastor back home in Tri-Cities. So it was youth ministry or a chance for professional baseball. I was like, that's, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting at the FCA office in conversation with my now current boss, and it just hit me. It's not one or the other. It's both and, which is where FCA came into play. It's obviously not professional baseball. It's not a full-time youth ministry at a church, but it's the ministry and baseball
God
offered me this opportunity to do faith in sports.
That's so cool.
At this game of baseball where I fortunately got to play at a high level.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to play out of high school. I didn't want to play my junior college. And after 2 years at NNU, before I got my year back, I didn't want to play again. And God just kept saying, no, I need you here.
This is actually a really awesome lesson because I think a lot of people think that they have to leave everything they love to follow God. And God knows, he knows our hearts.
Yeah.
Right. And he knows, and he's like a father. Like, we always forget that he's also our father in heaven, and he wants good things for us, and he wants us to live out the desires of our hearts as well.
Yeah.
And he's able to put this thing together. And that's really awesome that you shared that because I think a lot of people think that it has to be like an either or, and I like that you said it's a both end.
It's just unreal thinking about how long we've been here. And I got challenged this a long time ago by continually asking the question, what's your why?
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I like opening up every time I get asked this question, what's my why? It's God. Why am I here? It's God. There's no way I would have ever told you I was going to be living in the Treasure Valley when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
That's 8 years ago. And here I am just hopefully doing God's work as best I possibly can.
Yeah.
It's incredible what God can do through your mistakes, through your successes,
yeah.
and just build from that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we'll probably get to like where all the things that you've been able to accomplish in FCA and maybe like done there. But I want to bring in just a little bit of the conversation we're also having today, which is this is the third episode. We're talking about the up, in, and out, which is the three things that Jesus did that we are trying to model if we want to be like him. So the up was the spending time with God personally in prayer or maybe with other people, but that up time is that between you and God time. The in time was the sharpening, iron sharpens iron, working with other people that are also believers that can sharpen you, that can also edify you and lift you up. And we just talked about the importance of that. If you want to hear about it, go back to one of the previous episodes. But today we're talking about out, which is Jesus went out to the crowds.
Exactly.
He went out and he went out and healed people. He also went out and spoke. He went out and talked to people. He went out and forgave sins. He did all these things in the out. And so today we're talking a little bit about the importance of that. And I think having you on with FCA as we're talking about this is a really, really makes sense because you guys are doing a lot of outwork, reaching out to kids that don't know Jesus and trying to bring them in through something they love, which is sports. And so maybe just elaborate on how it sounds like you had an experience with FCA that kind of brought you through that as well, right? Like as a youth? Or, well, you said you came as an adult.
I ironically actually throughout 3 years, the first 3 years of high school, or sorry, last 3 years of high school, I got invited to go to FCA almost every week, and I turned it down every single time.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I always found the excuse, and I never did, and here I am. Yeah.
And here you are.
So running by now.
Wow.
Okay, but then maybe just how that's been an out for you and just reaching out to people and maybe some of the fruit that's come from that.
Yeah. I think a perfect example there's an event that FCA has. It's called Fields of Faith, where it always happens in the fall. It used to be something where it was just one day throughout the entire nation. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, scheduling is very hard to do things now. So it's usually within the span of a month. And actually, I'm leaving tonight to go up to Seattle. The Mariners, they have my favorite team. They have a Fields of Faith event at T-Mobile Park, which is going to be super cool because – Fields of Faith is just super cool in itself, to where essentially it's usually done at a high school where you bring the local high schools together at some field. And it's, you know, you start with worship, you have a main speaker, and then the best part about it, and the best part I always love about any event, is the commission, the send off, the go. And at the end of it, everybody, it's the call out to go to the field, to where you're in the bleachers, you now go out onto the field, you hold hands in a big circle, there's a huge prayer, and it's the calling to go. So it's the get off the bench, get on the field, go play the game. Mm-hmm. Love that notion of what Fields of Faith does. It's the call out, the send out, and every little thing that FCA does, whether it's a fundraiser, a camp, a clinic, a huddle, all of it is revolved around circling a vocation.
Yeah.
For these athletes, for these players, for these people.
Yeah.
Because if we do not know what our calling is, we do not know what our vocation is. It's so hard to pursue that. It's so hard to find that. And I know that's kind of my story and all that. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had no idea what I was doing. And now that I do, it's so easy, so much easier to follow God's path and where God wants me. And I'm actually going through a season right now where there's more decisions that I have coming my way, but there's no wrong. There's no wrong.
Yeah.
It's you know, God allows you to make that choice.
Exactly.
And God can use whatever choice you make for his kingdom. And just continually seeing that in FCA through these kids, and once they understand who they are, we work for anywhere from, FCA calls it 8 to 80. Mm-hmm. Our specific age range here is about 8 to 15.
Yeah.
And then we also work with coaches. But one quick story I'll never forget, when one of the moments where you see these kids start to believe and they start to pursue growth in that is one of the kids. He was honestly one of the worst players on my team. This is a few years ago. He'd strike out all the time, make errors on defense. And late in the season, he made a diving catch in right field and he was fired up. And from that moment, he very quickly became one of the best players on the team.
Wow.
In a span of weeks. And that had nothing to do with my coaching. It had nothing to
confidence.
Do with it. It was confidence. Yeah. It was belief. And I see that when it comes to our relationship with God.
So cool.
Once we know our path, once we know our calling, it's like, man, let's go do this, not just on our own, but with God at our side doing it as well.
Man.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that he calls us to do it. And he says, get off the bench and get into the game.
Exactly.
And why? Because there's so many more people that need to know his love and his understanding and who he is and that he died for them. And it's not meant to end on us individually.
And I love this reference of a game too, because when you're playing in a game, you're playing against something. You're playing in the game of spiritual life. You're playing against Satan. Satan is out there, but you cannot play this game.
You have a competitor.
You have a competitor, and you cannot play this game without a coach.
Yeah.
And man, God is a good coach.
That. Yeah.
That's the greatest
coach
that we're going to have.
He's so good.
Absolutely.
I was just drawn while we were talking about this. This is an out verse for me. And this is when, Jesus is sending people out. And this is Matthew 10:5, and he sends them out in twos, I believe, this is where he sends them out in twos. And he says, "This 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or any other, or entering any towns of the Samaritans." So he's starting with the people of Israel. Go rather to the sheep of Israel. But then he says this: "And as you go, proclaim this message: The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse out those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Mm-hmm. And that's the great, that's part of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is another verse good. Besides that. We'll probably hit that one here. But it's kind of along those same lines. He's like, I didn't just come just for this. I came for everybody. And so let's go out. And the coolest thing about that is that he involves us in it.
So good.
That he lets us to be a part of it. Because God could just appear to everyone and be like, here I am.
We know he does it.
And he does sometimes.
We hear so many testimonies about that happening, especially in the Middle East.
Yeah. And sometimes he has to, because there's not people willing to work with him. But for some reason, he also wants us to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And wants us to be a part of it, which is actually, it brings so much purpose and value. And I'm sure, like, those experiences you were just talking about, like, how did that impact you? Like, I know for me, like, the first time I baptized someone is one of the best moments of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's not even for me. Like, it's just.
Oh, I cried.
It's just like, oh, my gosh, God used me to help someone else know his love. Like, how awesome is that?
Right. Yeah. And God cares about the little things.
Yeah. He cares about the little things.
It's that, going back to that, this is kind of a funny story too in this. And we never know what God's doing. We do the reflection and growth. We can learn and we can become more in tune with what God is doing. But it's so hard to actually know what God is doing with these things. And I say this to say, I got in a car crash, I think it was 2.5 months ago, totaled my car.
Oh,
this is over in Oregon. And man, I was like, it wasn't my fault, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And so I got all insurance and all that was taken care of. And I was like, man, but why did this happen? Why did I have to go through the stupidness of this process? And so I just mentioned to you guys a little bit ago, I'm moving right now. And I just got done moving yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was able to buy from one of my good friends a Subaru Outback that has a hitch on it. So I was able to haul a trailer. And I thought about it on Wednesday morning as I was loading up the trailer. I was like, man, if I still had that car that I was driving, which I would if I didn't get in a car crash, there's no way I would have been able to do this. With coming off of the busy season I was, there's just no way. And God was caring for me.
He knows what we need before we do.
Exactly. Sure. And it was funny, too, because the car I bought came about because my buddy got hacked on Facebook at said he was selling his grandpa's car for like, you know, $1,300 or something super cheap. So I called him up. I was like, hey, I see this deal. Like, that's not happening, but I'm selling this car. I was like, he got hacked, and now I have this car to bless me in this opportunity. I'm like, my goodness gracious, God, you are funny.
I do think he has a sense of humor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The amount of times I'm sitting by myself and just start laughing because of something God just did or something that he speaks.
He was funny before we were.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Where do we get the sense of humor from, right? Where do we get it? That's so cool. I mean, and even that, we're talking about FCA, right? Where do we get our sense of humor? Where do we get this commission? Even when we get into, and I know you guys touch on this regularly within FCA, we're getting into talking with athletes and coaches, and as we're playing games and just even this gifting and ability that some of our athletes have, and just recognizing, okay, this is from God. And how can we use this for him?
Yeah.
Right. And then you mentioned the Great Commission earlier.
Yeah.
Right. And so that Great Commission, I'm just going to read it really quick from Matthew. And Matthew 28:19, it says, well, I'll start from 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One thing I want to add into there is that, you know, in your verse, how it says as you go, that's also a great rendering here. Mm-hmm. Of the Great Commission. When he says go, it's not always necessarily like, okay, you have to go off and do something different, but especially for athletes and coaches, these are things usually are, if they're not doing it with FCA, a lot of these players would be playing baseball still, right? Oh, yeah. Be playing basketball still, football, whatever they're doing. Archery. I love that we have an archery club. archery still. And so we would still be... This is just a passion of theirs. It's one of the things that they do within their life. And this is an opportunity, really, to, as they do this, as they go about their life and they're doing these things, to do it for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And that in itself, I know I have some friends that their son plays on club teams regularly, and they mention like how they love seeing the FCA teams out there. Because they see it as such a great witness every time the FCA teams are out there and they're praying. I think it's, they say before the games or after the games, they always, no matter how it goes, they're always praying with the other team, inviting the other team to pray. And then just the character and the witness that they have out there is phenomenal.
Sometimes it's just go and use the gifts I've given you.
Yeah. Use the gifts I've given you.
Go to your local area.
Glorify my name. Yeah. And it's just those little opportunities can make such a big difference if you're doing it with a heart for him, with a heart to serve him, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a shy Christian. You have to be. You have to be.
There shouldn't be.
There shouldn't be. You're right. My first year on coming, being a part of FCA, the theme was let's go. And the second part of it was go bold. And I was like, that still sticks with me. And that was 6 years ago. And it's, it is so important that you mentioned the prayer. After every game, we ask our coaches to invite the other team with an opportunity to pray at home plate in front of everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes too, we even ask our kids to do the prayer too. It's just, it can be so powerful, and the amount of encouragement that we have received from other people that aren't even Christians too.
Yeah.
That just, wow, the atmosphere you guys are creating, God's creating, excuse me, I'm sorry.
No, I hear you.
it's really cool to be witness to. And I think part of I think something that's very overlooked in the Great Commission, and this, I had this realization, every time, what's the Great Commission? Oh, go make disciples people of all nations. Great. Go love that. Make disciples people of all nations, baptizing them. Great. The last part I think is the most important, and I am with you always.
Yes.
Jesus just doesn't send us out. He sent us out. Behind us, like he's in front of us, making the way, and it's our job to just hop on his back and let's go do this together.
And he sends us in twos.
And he sends, yeah,
like that, in that previous regular one, he does. He sends them out in twos together.
Yeah.
So there's a unity. If you absolutely want to bring in the unity piece there.
Yeah.
We have him, and we also are not meant to do it by ourselves necessarily. Yeah, exactly. And you have an FCA team, right? You're not. It's like out there doing all this by yourself. Right. You got your boss and your other people doing it, and I'm sure you guys connect on things, and maybe you can share a little bit about how you guys work together for the broader area. And it's a national organization, so how do you work with the bigger teams as a whole?
This is one of those things that's kind of just being shaped and developed every year. Because we have our local Idaho staff, and then we have our Northwest staff, and then we have obviously the national staff, which also kind of doubles up as international staff. Mm-hmm. And then we also, in our Northwest, every region of FCA in the States is directly corresponded with another region internationally, and ours is Southern Europe. So we've also had conversations with them as well.
Love that.
And so the communication, I mean, the easiest, simple way to do it, any updates that need to be done, like any other business, just emails get sent out. But somebody had mentioned how this season that we're in of Zoom meetings and Google Meets and all these and Microsoft Teams, it's a season of busyness.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're just always on meetings. Mm-hmm. And I hear that and how it's a bad thing, but also I think it's a good thing is how easily we can be connected with each other now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The way around the world.
How many times I meet with somebody in Seattle on a weekly basis. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that outside of that.
Yeah, and absolutely not.
At least technically just phone calls and whatnot, but just a personal face-to-face.
Yeah.
Or just personal on a screen face-to-face.
Yeah.
So being able to do that, we had in the fall, once a year we do a big trip. So every other year it's regional, every other year it's regional, and in between years it's the national or worldwide. Mm. And those are just amazing opportunities to celebrate the wins of each other.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Last two Februarys ago, we were down in Orlando, and here we got to hear from Grace Lyons Turk. She was the Oklahoma softball player that was just glorifying God on that panel after they won the College World Series, and got to hear from her. We got to hear from, his name's escaping me, the Dallas Cowboys coach for many years. Mm. Oh my gosh.
This is embarrassing.
It's okay. It's
dang
okay.
It. You don't have to be too embarrassed because I have no idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's okay. I'm not going to help you at all.
Oh, his name. If it comes to me, I'll say it again. But just the celebrating the wins of other other Christians. This kind of speaks to, you guys talked about the end last episode, and it kind of speaks to that. We're hearing the wins and hearing and celebrating each other.
Yeah, that celebrating with each other. We didn't even talk about that. That's a good part of it. Yeah,
bucket filling. It is bucket filling.
Yes. Got to celebrate what God's doing.
So getting those opportunities to be together. And that's honestly my passion in with this FCA organization is we have our FCA sports here, which actually we got partially started with, I think it's in Mississippi. They have the FCA Fins, which is short for Faith in Sports, which I'm jealous of, to be honest. And we so we kind of took a lot of their uniforms and anything like that and brought here, and we've kind of developed our own from it. We're FCA Force, which I also love, Star Wars fan.
Come on, may the force be with you.
Exactly. Right?
Come on now.
And then, so but my heart in this is to see how do we take what we have, share it with the rest of the staff in the Northwest, share it with the rest of the staff in the nation, help them not to recreate the wheel here.
Yeah.
And be united in all of it. How do we create this communication
that
we're able to do that? Because it's all new. I mean, FCA Sports is within 4 years old.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
And it's so it's these clubs and these leagues and these teams that are coming out. We're all just kind of on our own and doing it all in our own way, which is great. God's gifted so many FCA staff with the ability to do this. But how are we celebrating each other and the wins in that and then building and off of each other rather than building off of our own, which I think everybody's doing a great job of. Every year we're doing something different. My role has changed I've been doing it for 2 years, but in the volunteering and interning, every year I've had a different role. We're trying to get better and better in how we're doing this to communicate. And I think the most important thing when it comes to this, to kind of answer your question, the most important part of it is the volunteers around it.
Yeah.
The people that are willing to serve.
Not doing it alone.
That are willing to buy in and sell out. And how are we going to them first? And the perfect example for us is our coaches.
Yeah.
How are we uplifting our coaches to then have them go do the things that they're doing with their teams in their strengths too?
Yeah.
Not our, it's easy for my boss and I to go in with our strengths and say, this is how you should do it, blah, blah, blah. But how are we empowering them to use their strengths to do the same things we're all
doing?
It's like
make disciples that make disciples that make disciples.
Absolutely.
You're only going to be able to make a few yourself.
Exactly.
But the multiplication factor is what's amazing.
Absolutely. And that's what allows it to be quality too.
Yeah.
When you try to do it all on your own.
Yeah, don't try to disciple 100 people at once.
You're not giving each one really that. You're maybe downloading information, but you're not giving that relationship and being able to touch on specific areas of their life that it takes for quality discipleship.
Yeah.
So when you have someone that is multiplying and you're able to focus on this collective, this group, this team, right? You have a coach focusing on his team, then he can actually get to know them better and speak into their lives rather than if he was just trying to talk to hundreds of different students.
Yeah. And God does that in seasons too. I mean, I coached for 3 years and then last year I took a year off where I was able to pour into coaches and I went to practice almost every day. I went to over 100 youth baseball games this year, just going out to all the different teams, which is very uplifting for me. That's not busy work for me. I get to go watch baseball.
Exactly. That's a great job. That's an awesome job.
But doing that, it was a season of talking to the masses, going to everybody.
Yeah.
But I lost the intentionality in that. I truly felt going into this season that God wanted me to go back into the intentionality of it to where I'm stepping back in and head coaching a 14-year-old team this year. And that I'm excited for the opportunity to pour into the kids on an intentional level throughout the year.
Absolutely.
And Jesus did both, right? So he went out and he did his Sermon on the Mount, which was to thousands, right?
Yeah.
And then, but then he would also stop and talk to Zacchaeus or the woman at the well or, you know, those are still outs because they were more individualized and like more personal.
Yeah.
And then he had his big group gatherings too. So, I mean, the out isn't just one. Just the big group gathering.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then let's kind of focus in because we've talked about when we were defining that in was people who are at the Lord's table, right? So let's give a good definition now for our out. What does our out look like? I'm thinking of a couple of things where I know FCA hits on this, and then maybe we can just all kind of go around and share on different ideas. But I'm throwing that to you. Yeah, give me that definition of the out.
Yeah, so I think out is just people who don't really know the Lord. And they could have gone to church before.
Could know of him.
Know of him.
There you go.
But they don't have that deeper understanding. That would have been actually me
from the years of 8 to 22 when I was raised Catholic, so I had some idea of who God was, and I had some connections with him, and I believed he was real. But I didn't fully understand what it meant to follow. Mm-hmm. I didn't fully understand what it meant to give my life to him and have him be Lord of my life. And so at that point,
you weren't at
anybody coming
yet.
To me to, with like information in regards to that, I would have been an out to them because I wasn't in where I was like, I can have a discussion of the Bible with you because I know, I know what God's word says to any degree. Yeah. It was more just like, I knew the basic of the basics, which was that Jesus had died for us on a cross. And so maybe that was enough, but I still would have considered myself probably to be an out at that point. Yeah.
You weren't in relationship with
him. I wasn't
him.
In
you
relationship
weren't sitting at his
him.
Table yet. You were more like, you walked
I
by
I thought
the house.
Of him as a distant deity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not a father or a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. There. Okay.
Dude, absolutely. Does the out, would the out also include the people that are believers in Jesus and the ones that are pursuing Jesus? Or are we looking more at the out of the people that don't know Jesus yet that need?
I would say the out is more those that aren't there yet that aren't in relationship
because the in is kind of where
is those
because you can have some doubts and all those things, and that's included in because you're that's the iron sharpens iron part of it, right?
I got
because
you.
Like I'm in as like I've decided I made a decision to follow Christ. I just don't really know how to do it yet.
Yeah,
and so I'm gonna work with you and that's that in part. Exactly. But if it's like maybe that's it. Just haven't made that actual full decision to be like, I'm giving my life to the Lord.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the first thing that comes to my mind on this, and this is really more of a question for you to kind of share some of the experience, what you've seen. FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, right? And I think this happens the same thing with Christian schools. You go to Christian private school, some would assume everyone there is fully bought in and Christian. Is it regular for you guys to see athletes come through? It's like, I want to be part of this team, but they're not really walking with God, don't understand, have that relationship. And does that, does your team just like, does that automatically give you an out even there within your own club?
Man, I'm going to spend the rest of the hour here.
No, come on. Let's talk about it. Cause
I'll tell you what, doing what we do, there's a big old, and that's not, now I'm not saying we as an FC, I'm saying we as Christians, we have a huge target on our backs.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we're going out and doing this on the baseball field in close sports, and wearing a cross on our sleeve, a cross on our hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I had to put numbers to it, out of 21 teams and 240, 250 families, I would say probably 1/3 are devout church going Christians. One third are what's the Easter and
the nominal
and they know God. There's some there. They open their Bible once a week maybe, and then there's a third that just aren't at all. They don't know Jesus at all.
That's
if I had to put numbers to it, that's probably how it's
So it's kind of breaking down in thirds. So and, I mean, you have that mix.
Yeah,
all in
and then
there.
And then there's actually this kind of goes on the bold part. There's the mix of kids that really want to pursue Jesus that parents aren't there. They don't really care a whole lot, to be honest.
Mm.
And that is, it's heartbreaking, but it's exciting.
Yeah.
And there's actually one kid, man, this story hits home. It wasn't even an FCA kid. It was the opposing team, FCA team. We played them and doesn't matter about the score, but I don't know what happened. After the game, we invited him to pray and the coach said, no, let's go do our meeting. This one kid left the meeting to come pray with the team.
Mm,
after the game, the coach just suspended him for 4 or 7 games or something like that. The next day, they played against each other again. The kid was in the stands wearing his FCA hat from a camp that he had been a part of the previous year. And after that game, 7 of his teammates went and prayed at home plate afterwards. And
in support.
Oh my gosh.
That's so good.
It's unreal.
Wow.
You gotta put the invite out there.
You talk about bold.
So good.
Holy cow. That's on the field discipleship right there.
That's
and
so
it's
cool.
So cool. And sometimes all it takes is one.
It
takes one and then the rest is there. So rewinding a little bit, it's difficult to manage that in a sense of how are we
not just inviting certain groups and discipling to certain groups, but how are we getting every and the resources we're sharing and the discipleship we're doing. And that's why I kind of mentioned earlier about how FCA's mission is to lead every coach and athlete.
Yeah.
I think we're missing a mark with the parents, especially in the club world specifically. When it comes to huddles and whatnot, I think it's a different thing. But when it comes to the club world, I mean, unfortunately, club sports, it's not in a good spot right now where we have parents thinking that their kids are God's gift to baseball. And that's not, I don't mean to generalize. There's obviously some great relationships and great parents out there. I'm not a parent, so I can't really say anything on it. But it's really hard when you have one parent. You can have every, in a 7-inning game or 6-inning game, you can have everything go perfect, glorifying God. As soon as one thing gets said or done that's not good, that's the target that everybody else focuses on. Oh, I thought you guys were the Christian organization, supposed to be perfect, supposed to be good. It's like, well, sorry, we're human too. And there's so much growth that comes into this that it's kind of a both of an in and out of we are focusing on our own and how we're growing our souls, but then the outward and of bringing everybody else in, including the outward of those in our program that don't know Jesus yet. Man, it's really hard to ignore the noise. Sometimes. And just trust that God's got a plan for it. The good, the bad, and how we are pursuing the hearts intentionally of everybody out there, the kids, the parents, the
I think
the
that coaches. Comes back to what you were talking about last time about obedience.
Obedience and something that he just hit on is that in and working on that and how we were saying last time when that in is right. When you're able to focus and get that
when
in
the
right,
up and in are good.
It automatically bolsters that out. Because that in is a witness to the world, right? So I think that's big. But you were saying...
Well, the obedience piece, right? Because what you're saying is like, you don't really know and things can go awry and all that. And you just have to like keep going down that trail of like, well, I feel like God's asking me to do this and I'm just going to do it. And it might like asking those other kids to pray. It's like, I'm just going to do that. I don't know if it's going to yield anything. And, but that one kid came. And it's because you guys are just obedient to the mission you created. And like, that God gave you, probably, I would assume. And like, we're going to pray and we're going to invite the other team to pray. And because you guys were obedient to that, this kid came over and then it was a witness to half of his team.
And I have no idea where that kid is now. But I don't need to know. God's working in him, I'm sure.
He does the heavy lifting. We just need to do our obedience piece and then the rest is up to him. And that actually, there's this thing that I've been told. Sometimes we get in this out world, we start thinking like, I'm going to save the world. Like me. Like, I'm going to do it. It's like, no, you're just presenting the things that God has given you. And then he does the work. And one of the things that really helped me as a, and this is more maybe for church leaders specifically, is something that was told to my pastor. His name is Brian. And because we could take on the weight of like, and I'm sure you do this too, Ryan, which is just like, I feel like I got to save all these kids because God's put me here and I got to do it. And we put on a lot of weight on ourselves for that. And he said, it was another pastor told him this, and he said, you're not their savior.
Come on now.
Jesus is.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're not the savior. So that actually helps a lot because then we're like, okay, I'm not the savior. I just need to be obedient to what God's calling me to. And if they're going to get saved based on his experience with them after or during or whatever, how he works with the Holy Spirit, and they might say no too.
Yeah.
And we got to be okay with that, which is, that's the hardest part is like when we know that the possibility is there for someone to know God and experience his freedom and all those things. And then they choose not to.
Yeah. The hardest part for me in that was,
but they did that to Jesus too.
The hardest part for me in that was if it's not me, no one else can do it either. In that same idea, it's like, man, if I don't get to all these kids, no one else can either. It's like, no, are you kidding me? That's the stupidest thought I've ever had.
You're not Obi-Wan Kenobi, man. You are not the only hope.
I wish I was.
Or Jesus.
You're not the only hope, right?
He is in me, so he is not me.
What's it called? So, I mean, as we're talking about this out, I'd love to hear some of the practical ways, because one big thing with out, right, is that you can look at it and it can almost feel overwhelming and almost feel the sense of there's so many that need to hear the gospel. And I think it's always nice to scale the out back to realizing what are the simple things we can do, the practical, simple things that we can do that may not get somebody, you know, praying with you and confessing their sins, you know, at your first interaction, but it leads towards fruit of salvation.
Yeah. Planting
and,
seed.
Yeah, planting seed, watering seed. And so I want you to think of some of those things and share with us some of those things that FCA does that you feel like these are seeds planted, opportunities, doors open for building and just practical things that you guys do that even coaches, and I know I love this with FCA, it's not just about whether or not it's one of the FCA force teams, right? If there's a Christian coach out there, he's like, I want to minister while I'm coaching. FCA has resources for them, right? And wants to help them out. Same thing with players and whatnot. So those players, those coaches who may be on their school teams, maybe, you know, in city teams, club teams somewhere, what are some of those practical things that they can implement?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind, and you asked me the how for any question and regarding Jesus, is engage God first.
Come on now.
Yeah, that's good.
You have to start
with the up.
Did he just say start with the up?
Yeah, start with the up. We talked about that.
He said begin with prayer.
That's good.
Come on now. Come on.
I love it.
I love this.
You have to engage God first. In the tryout that I had on Tuesday for my team, in the parent meeting, one of the things I said, if I am not doing God's work here, if I'm not pursuing God first and making the decisions for the kingdom of God first, then I'm doing it wrong. I'm missing the mark. And what's the point of doing an FCA club program? Might as well just be the force instead of the FCA force.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's going to be a question that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about camps for a second too, but it's a big part of how we started. But in preparing for these camps this summer, our biggest goal that we've had since we started these things is to make an impact for the sake of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that if you're not engaging God first. What actions are you doing? What words are you speaking that are making an impact for the sake of the kingdom? Not your kingdom, but God's kingdom. So anyway, wrap that up tight in a bow, engage God first. Yeah. That's what you have to do. And that's part of FCA's discipleship strategy in E3 is engage, equip, empower.
Exactly.
Engage is broken up into four little smaller parts, and it's engage God first.
Yeah.
You have to do that first.
Yeah.
And then from there to the next applicable how-to practical, start with one. It starts with one.
Always.
And
come on now.
Once you go to one, whatever, God can go from one to two to six to 1,000 to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
In
a
matter of, you know, days. If that's what God wants it to do, God's power is incredible.
Yeah.
Our power is nothing.
We went from 12 to billions. So
come on now.
And so start with one and be bold in that. You have to be bold in everything that you're doing. I was always confused growing up when I went to Mariners games and there was those guys out front with the, you know, the signs up on their backpacks and they're preaching and teaching, and whether it was good or bad, I was like, what the heck is that guy doing? What? He is a weird dude. At the same time, I kind of wish I had that boldness and faith to where I was able to go out in front of random people and just say, that's my God. You have to be. You have to be willing and able to be obedient in the boldness that God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
So start with one and see what God can do with that. And that's I will talk about the camps for a second. That's where our teams, where we're at now is because 6 years ago we started our first youth camp.
Yeah.
And we had 74 kids. And after that camp, we had several parents. Hey, do you guys have any teams? Well, no, not yet. And then we had one team, two teams, four teams, 18, 16, 17. Now I think we're at 21. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
But I just want to throw out there, because I bring this up every time I talk to one of the FCA guys. I have to keep on dropping this. I still don't see a track club team.
I want to see a track club team. You want to coach? I'll help. Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, call me up. Bro. I'll help it out.
Come on. Come on.
Let's see the coaches, right?
Let's get something going.
Nice.
So, that is so cool that you guys have been able to expand. Because I know this just started, a few years ago? Just flat out, that's impressive. For clubs to get that many teams going that quickly, I don't feel like that's normal.
I don't think so either.
No.
it is really cool to see God is impressive.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. God is very impressive.
That's so cool.
It is.
That's so cool.
That's cool. Actually, I have a question for you along kind of along those lines because I think it's important to hit before we run out of time. And I know we got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure this gets out there, which is how can people be involved and how can they support what FCA is doing? And I'm sure there's a number of ways. One of them that comes to mind is having coaches, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you could kind of share some of those things.
Yeah. The first one is ask.
Yeah.
In our FCA sports, it is me, my boss, and our admin assistant, and that's it with 21 teams.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really hard for us to pick up on who's willing and able, and that's when we go have those conversations. Yeah. So the biggest thing that helps us and other FCA staff doing their ministry is to ask you come to us.
Yeah.
And that's the boldness part of it too. Be willing to ask and be willing to serve in that way. And if that's not where your heart's at, that's totally fine.
How do they do that?
We're not asking everybody. Our website, we have FCA Idaho and we have FCASportsIdaho.org, both of them. Okay. And all of them, it shows our staff. It has all the contact information on there.
Awesome.
All the emails, phone numbers, all that information. And also it shows our events coming up that if you want to help volunteer in that. And that's where kind of the next one would be just the manpower behind setting up, tearing down, registration opportunities. Anything that you can think of when it comes to running a club organization, there's always the need for just help. And because there's just two of us doing it. We have our talents. Neither of us have social media. We're horrible at that. So people, that's just an example. If somebody wanted to come in and run our social media.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Exactly.
Somebody wants to come and design our uniforms. We baseball players look good, feel good, play good. We love looking good. Mm-hmm. So we love doing our design work, but also we're not graphic designers. We're not talented at it. So things like that where we want to bring people in to help empower a group of people. We're kind of developing this kind of task force to help with specifics like that of running Game Changer, which is the platform that we use to, keep score and keep stats and whatnot, registration, uniforms, all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fundraising is a big one too. And that's probably the final way that people could support and help is financially.
Yeah.
All FCA staff are supported through donations. It's essentially the way I describe it is as if we're going on a missions trip just locally.
Yeah, it's missions.
Local missionary.
Local missionary. And so that's the biggest need is us keeping up on that as well as from there. One thing that we offer because we have to fill our own bucket. If we're not supporting ourselves financially, we can't do what we get to do.
Exactly.
So if we're there from that, looking at the program, we provide all our kids with Bibles. How awesome is it for someone to donate a bunch of Bibles?
Say,
hey, I want to donate this much money for Bibles for all the kids and sponsorships for.
Come on, man.
We just bought new base plugs for our field that we built at Living Hope Bible Church last. We put them in like yesterday.
Mm.
Little things like base plugs.
Yeah.
All the way up to how do we get an acre of land to build a baseball field?
Exactly.
So any of those needs of financial gifts are huge with what we get to do because I got very convicted of this. If our financial desires and needs have to be God's, if it's the same thing with engaging God first, our everything that we do within FCA, our purchases and everything that we do, our hope and our heart is that it's to glorify God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Even something as silly as base plugs to fill in a hole at a baseball field.
Yeah.
It's for God's glory.
I
bought a TV about 6 months ago because my other TV broke. Turns out it wasn't broke, and I just made a hasty decision. It didn't make it God's decision. Long story short, in this moving process, that TV broke. And I was like, at first I was like, gosh dang it. But then I was also like, you know what, God, that's pretty funny. Like, you didn't want me to make that purchase, and I did, and here we are. Now it's broken. Life's left. Lesson learned. Here we are. So,
Now I love that. Is there a spot that kind of lists out those services?
Same thing on the website.
Cool.
I can't speak too much to the FCA Idaho's website. I just know it should be laid out there pretty good. But FCA Sports Idaho, there's a section on sponsorships how you can give, where you can specifically give to.
That's but so also cool. The service like for volunteers is that kind of listed out?
It's
too?
Kind of under the same spot. We're still working on what that looks like because our communication we want to make as clear as possible.
Yeah.
So right now I believe all it says is just
if you want to volunteer, okay, contact us. But we're working on a step-by-step, here's how you can specifically work with your strengths and go from there.
That's cool.
I don't have the website memorized.
I just want to kind of reiterate that, because I know a lot of people, they're just like, I don't know where I fit in, where mm-hmm. I serve. But if you are a sports person,
exactly,
like just like you were like, you're
absolutely,
like, it's a both and. I can do sports and and work for the kingdom. And maybe you're not a minister, but you have some Bible knowledge and you're like, I could coach a team or I could hold a flag and do whatever else they need on the field.
Yeah.
That's a good way to volunteer some time and do something that you love. Exactly. Like if you're into sports or baseball, whatever those things are, and also, have a ministry impact.
Yeah. And it's such a cool opportunity. I played baseball for 18 years at a high level, got to play in a College World Series, amazing experiences. My best baseball experiences came the 3 years after I got done in coaching. Having that opportunity to coach rather than play is an unreal opportunity, what God can do through that. And we actually just, the tryout we had yesterday is a coach that we met with last week that he was really nervous about coaching. He had never led any sort of ministry focus, but he's a devout Christian. He goes to church. He's a solid dude.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to get to know him more and more. He was really nervous, and I was just encouraged. Like, there was stuff that FCA provides in the resources and the trainings and the things that Sean and I, my boss, are doing to help run coaches' clinics and devotionals. Mm-hmm. We run coaches' devotionals to help these coaches and empower them to go do what they do.
That's so cool.
It's if you're nervous about it, you're getting a little tingly feeling in your gut, that means contact me right now.
Come on.
Yeah, I hope some people call.
Absolutely.
Get involved.
Absolutely.
Just based on this, hopefully.
I feel like that's such a huge mission field. And when you think of, when I think of mission field, I was just talking with somebody the other day about this and the verse of the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
When it comes to youth sports, the harvest, oh man, like that is such a ripe, beautiful harvest.
Yeah.
And there's time and time again, I have some friends that run some sport leagues and are involved in sport leagues. And they say time and time again, the biggest struggle is not kids coming out willing to play. The biggest struggle is coaches to coach them.
Exactly.
And so sometimes they have to turn kids away because there's not enough coaches.
Yeah. That's what we've had to do. That it hurts our heart.
Yeah. And that's heartbreaking, especially. So that is such a great way to serve the kingdom, to serve your community.
New out.
And just step in. If you have a heart for any type of sport, you have a heart for coaching for kids, like sign up, hit up FCA on that. What's it called? I'll follow up with you on track.
Let's go. Come on.
And because that is, I feel like that's so big. There's no shortage of harvest of kids that want to come out and be a part of it. We need those coaches, though.
The three things we look at before we create a team is we make sure we have to have the leaders to lead, the facilities to use, and the players to play.
Exactly.
Players to play.
No problem.
You're just talking about facilities is somewhat tough, but very manageable. But the leaders to lead, that's have to happen.
Talk about an easy door, an opportunity to be an influence,
absolutely,
to the next generation.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys. I'm obviously we've talked about you. You've played sports growing up. Did you play sports growing up?
Maybe I was more in the pep band.
More in the pep band. Okay. Well, the reason
I did play some, but I was not good at it.
Because I'm thinking as someone playing sports growing up, some of the things you remember are your interactions with coaches.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Like those are some of the things that take root in you and that you remember more than a lot of other things.
That's true for teachers when it comes to like what I was into, like my band teacher.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You remember some of those things.
Those people that are training you and that they have your ear.
Yeah.
And like they're you gain a certain, like what you talked about, like switching from a player to a coach. All of a sudden, your influence just jumped.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because you're like, I actually have something that's beneficial to everyone because I have learned this about this guy, Jesus.
Yeah. And you like, I think even sometimes coaches don't realize it and players don't realize it. But I'm thinking, looking back, like there are things that I can just remember. My coach used to do this. My coach used to do that or said this or said that. And you may not realize it, but it's an opportunity to really plant seed. Mm-hmm. That could last a lifetime, that could echo throughout the rest of their life. So if you can get out there and you can be an encourager, somebody who's edifying and pushing them towards God. Man,
Billy Graham says that a coach can have greater impact in 1 year on a kid's life than many people can in a lifetime.
Exactly. Mm. Come on now.
It's, and that's so true. And I got asked this question a while back. I got a ministry degree at NNU, so there's all these theological questions that come my way all the time. One of them was, if you read your Bible every day, you pray to God every day, but you sit in a room with white walls and do nothing all day, are you a Christian?
Mm.
And it took me a long time to think about this. Shift the chair.
Come on.
And honestly, the answer to me is no, because you have to go make disciples.
Because God will move your heart.
Exactly.
Like if you're not being moved in that way, you probably need to spend more time in the up and the in.
Yeah.
And God will actually move your heart, because God grows your heart for other people.
Come on now.
We talk about this all the time, my wife and I, about how God's just grown our love for people.
Exactly. Like,
I think when you're younger and you don't know God, like, people are just annoying.
Come on now.
You know what I mean?
Let's be honest.
And it's
tolerate
easy to hate,
one
it's
another.
It's easy to dislike.
Bear with one another.
People, because people say things. And like, as you grow, I think I mentioned this once before on here, you start recognizing that the things that rub you wrong about people are not always their fault.
Mm-mm.
And even if they are, there's a hurt there or something, and your grown love for them just goes like, man, how can I get to that? Mm. How can I help you with that hurt? How can I get you past that with Jesus?
Yeah, exactly.
And it just really grows. You get that heart for Jesus. And so it's like almost impossible to have that experience with Jesus and be like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah. And I think it's so big, this idea. You're reading and you're just staying in the room. Reading, you're praying, you're staying in the room. We were kind of talking about with this up, in and out. The whole purpose of this is the Jesus-shaped life, right? And when you think of being a Christian, literally what this means is that you are a follower of Christ. And this is what Christ called us to do. Jesus said, follow me. And so you have to ask yourself, if I'm staying in this room and I'm reading and am I praying, am I actually following?
Is
that what Jesus did? No. You're being with him. Kind of like we said, you be with him, you try to become more like him, and you do what he does. And you're being with him, you're spending time with him. But it's hard to be like him if you're not really interacting with others and you're not practicing that character and practicing grace and practicing mercy and practicing love. It's hard to be like somebody if you're not practicing.
Exactly.
And then same thing. I mean, there's no way you can do what he did if you're staying in isolation.
Yeah.
And so especially with this up in and out and this Jesus-shaped life, this is a great model, just a great way of saying, am I doing what he did? Am I spending time up? Am I spending time in? Am I spending time out? Am I being like him in these areas? Am I interaction with the Father? Am I in submission to the Father like Jesus was in submission to the Father?
Yeah.
Am I loving others like Jesus was loving others? And your relationship, and then same thing with that, doing what he did. Am I an edifier? Am I an encourager? Am I praying for others? Am I sharing the gospel? Am I telling people about the kingdom? Like, are we doing these things in the up, in and out that Jesus did?
Yeah. And it's very easy to hear what we're talking about and what other people talk about. Pastors say it on a Sunday church, and it's like, oh, whoa, that's a lot. It's so overwhelming.
It is.
And, you know, no, it is. But no one ever promised that a Christian life was going to be easy.
Come on now.
No.
But to a certain level, like, why does it have to be hard, though?
Yes.
Because if you're doing these things for Jesus, you know Jesus is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesesn't have to be.
His yoke is easy.
Yeah.
And his burden is light. That's a verse, right? That's true. Like, it is hard, but also when we put, he's going to carry that weight for us.
Yeah.
Come on now. If we allow him to.
Exactly.
Because remember, that yoke means that you're tied with him.
Yeah, when you're with him.
So he's helping carry that load.
Yeah. I'm grateful I can get in a car wreck and break a TV and laugh about it.
Yeah. Amen,
right?
Bro.
Like, right?
Seriously.
I'm not saying I'm better than anybody because I do that, but just having that mindset of, man, God's got a plan and a purpose for all of it.
Yeah. He's going to work it out.
Exactly.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Trust is hard, but when you can actually get to that point where this has been one of the most trusting years of my life, because I'm doing the same thing you're doing, which is like fundraising for myself and doing that.
Mm.
But God has just like provided amazingly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, gosh, man, I wish I'd done that sooner.
Yeah.
It is a
greater
opportunity.
Gotten to that trust level sooner.
Yeah.
Because he does, even though it's hard and like we can get anxious about it or all those things.
Yeah.
Man, I would just been in such a bit better position if I would have just started sooner on that.
Yeah. I think we all would. But I think we all would, but I also think God has used our paths and our histories to shape us who we are today, to make it to where we are. Obviously, you know that, but I think that's
It took sharpening and all that. It took all that in and up time.
Oh, yeah. Looking back, learning, like, I wish I was a Christian the first 18 years of my life and followed God religiously, but also God has used those first 18 years to do what I do. Sure.
Exactly. Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
I couldn't have done it.
All right, guys. Yeah, we do got to wrap it up.
We're gonna wrap this guy up. We're out of time. But that's such a great conversation. I'm so glad. Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you guys having me. I love being able to share what God's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Always working.
And with that, I've said before, I'll say it again, Christianity. It is the simplest, most difficult thing you'll do. As we talk about it and we're talking about all these different ways, it may seem kind of like if you're trying to take it all in, it can seem complicated. But going back to what you said, just start with prayer and then start with the one. You start simple and you just keep on adding on. We've talked about before this idea of living blessed rhythms. And that's why I say, he said, begin with prayer, right? It's blessed meaning begin with prayer. Listen, so engage people in conversation, eat with them, serve them, and then share the gospel with them.
Come on.
Like, just, and then start with one. Don't overcomplicate it. It's not meant to be complicated, but pick a relationship, pray about it, let God guide you to one, and then just start doing those things, start praying for them, listening
and,
to them.
And I know we got to go, just to wrap up that too, like in the being bold of going out, it's being bold in the ask too.
Yes,
FCA has
absolutely
what they call the way of sharing the gospel. Jesus loves you, or God loves you, sin separates you, Jesus rescues you, will you trust him?
Yep. Do you have the wristband?
I do, I got two of them.
You got it right there, it is. Yep.
I like the glow-in-the-dark one. The closer it is to the light, the brighter it shines, come on. I like to phrase that, will you trust him, as what are you going to do about it? It makes it's a little more challenging, a little more bold. So being bold and getting out and starting with the one, and then with that one, ask, will you trust Jesus?
Exactly.
It's being bold in the ask of what Jesus calls us to do.
Yeah. That's so good. Would you mind closing us in prayer?
I was going to ask the same thing.
I would love to.
Yeah, do it.
All right.
For those that are listening, I would love to assume a posture of praise where we just have our palms towards Jesus.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Unless you're driving, keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Unless you're in a Tesla, you'll be all right.
Jesus, we thank you for joy. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for that these things just come from you. And when they come from you, they're just multiplied. And we're grateful for the opportunities that we have to share your wins, your victories, whether it's through the ministry of FCA, through the ministry of churches, through families, through friends. God, we're just so grateful that we get to share in the wins. And we thank you for the lessons of in, out, and up, and how we got to talk today about this idea of going out to those that need you. God, at any point in our lives, we know that we needed you and what we felt when you came to us and why we are so passionate about honoring you and serving you and giving you the glory. And we pray that from this conversation, hearts can be changed towards the out, towards who's the one, who's the two in our lives that we know need you right now, that we can go out to, that we can serve, that we can pray for, that we can be there for, God. And we just thank you for your word and your scripture and the characteristics that you just bestow upon us daily, the fruits in our lives that we continue to grow because of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the lordship that you have and that you have a plan for every one of us, whether things are going good, whether things are going bad, God, that we can just stay tight to you, trust in you, let go and let you and be joyous in everything that we're doing, God, because that's who you call us to be in the stressful times and the easy times, God, that we can be bold in who we are, be bold in our faith, proclaiming your name, knowing that you are Lord in our lives, giving you all the glory. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these men that are willing to pour into the community here, that are a community of listeners, God, to just continue to grow all together and in unity as we all pursue this kingdom mindset of starting with one and going to the ends of the earth. So we thank you for this time and pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.
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 Prayer, bro.
Come on. Praise Jesus.
Yes, sir.